Welcome to our presentation. My name is Sridhar Malangi. I'm very excited to be here for three different reasons. One, this is a SharePoint conference. I was supposed to be here last year too, but had to miss out because of some customer commitments, and I cried like baby. Two, I'm presenting with my buddy after a long time. Three, this is Vegas. Woo!
My name is Brent Groom. I'm a senior PFE. Been with Microsoft for about 5 years. I was with Fast as well as Sridhar prior to that. So we've got several years of search experience, and we're excited to present today. These are the things we're going to cover. We're going to talk about content extensibility points in SharePoint 2013. Then we'll talk about custom connectors and how you can do your own custom connectors. We'll talk about some of the basics of content enrichment and then some advanced content enrichment techniques. And we're going to cover these those four things quickly as we can. We want to spend most of our time talking about two different toolkits. These are services toolkits that were developed by Microsoft Services, and we'd like to spend half of our time talking about the toolkits, demoing the toolkits, and showing you how those work. So we'll briefly go through architecture overview so we get a landscape of where we're at. Realize we are going to get pretty deep on these toolkits, both on content enrichment as well as connectors. So if that doesn't apply to you, now is probably a good time to leave. We'll get pretty deep on those. So to get our bearings straight, we are focusing on the left here, both on the content side and the crawl side. There are two points of extensibility in green, the content enrichment web service and custom connectors, and that's where we'll spend our time. On the crawl side with the custom connector, it fits in here on the left. We have many out-of-the-box connectors and then the ability to write your own connector to your own data sources. And one thing to point out, with SharePoint 2013, we have the ability to do continuous crawl. That applies to SharePoint 2013 content crawled by the out-of-the-box connectors, so it doesn't apply to the things we're talking about today. This is a slide on the document processing pipeline, and you notice here the web service callout. This is the custom web service you can write. It happens in the middle, and the reason we show this slide is so you are aware that things happen before, and there are some things that happen, stages that happen after your web service. So be aware, things like word breaking, the custom entity extraction, any work that's done after your web service, you're obviously not going to have access to those properties and the data that's in there. Okay, I'm going to turn the time over now to Sridhar to talk about content ingestion.
Back and forth. This one. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks, Brent. So next couple of slides, we're going to go through content ingestion. So we're going to talk about why this is critical, why it's important, what options we have as of today to extract content. And we're also going to talk about this custom toolkit that's developed by a couple of resources in services, and then demo the tool. And then we're also going to talk about how you can extend that using the tool, how you can create your own custom connectors. So why this is important? For most large enterprise search implementations, including some of the e-commerce search implementations, there is always these content sources that you need to crawl for which you might not have either out-of-the-box connectors or third-party connectors. So no matter how wonderful the search engine is, what cool features it has, if you cannot extract the content and make it available for search, the experience is not really going to be that useful. So for folks who worked with Fast ESP, you probably know that there was push-based content API, which is not really available in SharePoint 2013. So this custom toolkit that we're going to talk about is not really a replacement for it, but it would help you alleviate some of those issues. So what do we have as of today with regards to content extraction? So there are two types of connectors, right? One is protocol handler based. The other one is based on BCS connector framework. So there are default solutions built on both of them. So on the protocol handlers are the ones that are pretty popular, like file share crawler, SharePoint, web crawler, and user profile crawler. And as far as the BCS connector framework, that's what is being used by product group to build all the new connectors, like, for example, Lotus Notes connector, Documentum connector, Exchange. Node Exchange only works with the public folders. So if you have to build a custom solutions as of today, the option that you have is BCS. So what's BCS? BCS is probably most of you are aware of it. That's Business Connectivity Services. It's been there for a while. Change the name, BDC to BCS. This lets you connect external data sources into SharePoint, and then you'll be able to operate on it. So BCS has many features, right? Search is a very small a piece of it, too. And we're only going to look at the search features here. You can also, and as mentioned, like, you can connect that as an external entity, display it as a SharePoint external list, and also can be used as a search source. It has different flavors depending upon the source that you are actually trying to extract the content from. For example, if you're connecting to OData or SQL databases, then you don't have to write any code. You need to create that model XML file wherein you need to specify the database connection string. You also need to specify all the properties that you want to extract and be able to search. And as far as the next two, the WCF service one, you need to implement a service, an interface. You don't have to deploy this into SharePoint, so that's good. So if you want to make an updates, whatever, it's a little bit more easier. So you need to connect it to the web WCF service, with which you'll be able to extract the required content and be able to index it. The last one, .NET Assembly. Here you need to implement the service, an interface, and you also need to deploy that as a DLL into SharePoint. So a little bit more intrusive. For people who want to know a little bit more about the WCF service, there was an excellent presentation done at TechEd by Thomas Mulbach and Matthew King. You can check that one to get all those details.
Can we see, just by a raise of hands, how many people have done BCS and search? So about half? That's great.
Okay. Awesome. BCS, in my opinion, is more like a job secure application in the sense that it's pretty complex. So it's a lot of times you're trying to, debugging is a little bit difficult. I mean, it has awesome features, but it's just that it's not that easy to get it working. And there is not too much of information available if you run into some of those issues. So what is that we're going to talk about next? So this custom tool, it's called the Search Indexing Toolkit set. This is based on a protocol handler. There are actually a couple of samples floating around. So this resources from MCS, Oslo, Nadim Ishker, and a couple of his teammates. They've used those examples, re-engineered them, and based upon that, they developed this toolkit. It's nothing but a generic implementation of custom SharePoint indexing connector. So it comes with a toolkit with which you should be able to create your own custom connectors, which we're going to talk about in the next couple of slides. So it comes with a generic data model file, which tries to map various types of properties and push it to the search engine. You don't really have to touch it or update this one. This implements all the complexities of a typical crawl. Like, for example, batching. This is very important when you're trying to crawl, a lot of content, millions of documents. It supports both the full and incremental crawl. And the last and very important one is the security trimming. It does support both Active Directory security as well as custom claims. And the nice thing about it is that this is all hidden behind one single interface, which we're going to talk about soon. So what's really in the package? It comes with a SIT core library along with a model file, dplot and GAC. Along with that, you get two sample connectors, one to crawl XML files, the other one is to crawl SQL, that's AdventureWorks product database. So I mentioned sample. The reason is because it does work for most of the scenarios, but then it's possible that in your case, you might want it to be, you know, work differently. So you can use this as a sample and extend them. So along with that, you get a guide, which helps you to work, gives you the details of how to use the sample connectors, and as well as like if you want to extend them or create your own custom connectors. So let's quickly take a look at what's available as part of the SIT XML file connector. This can index any XML file. So as part of that XML connector configuration, you need to define where the XML files are located. So it takes each XML file. So an XML file can contain more than one item. So the way this particular connector is implemented is that it does batching based upon the number of items specified in each XML file. So you can have 100, 200, whatever it is. I definitely recommend you to have like, you know, 50 to 100. If you're trying to be adventurous enough and trying to crawl something like a Wikipedia dump file, like which is 42 gigs, you would definitely run into issues. This is pretty flexible. Based upon the configuration, it parses XML file, and any sub-element, right, that's it, it finds, it actually maps crawl properties, and it also generates the managed properties and maps them. Note that those managed properties are all text-based. That's the default in out-of-the-box configuration. But if for some reason you needed to, you know, create a different type of managed properties, you can actually disable that configuration. It works pretty well. This has been used in some of our customer implementations. On my dev VM, it runs more than 100 documents per second. So it's pretty scalable. We've used it to crawl millions of documents, and it just works fine.
So that sounds pretty good. Who wants to see a demo? All right.
Now, how do I switch this X3?
There you go.
You're good.
So let's take a look at what's really available in the package. So when you get this, so you get this package. So as part of this one, there is a source directory. This is where it has the core connector source code, along with this, the two sample connectors, one for the XMLs and the other one is for AdventureWorks. So you have the code for source code for those three connectors. So along with that, it comes with the DLL files for the various connectors, connector configuration files, and the generic data model file that we just talked about, which you don't really need to update. And then these two PowerShell scripts, which are there to help you with the deployment of the core connector as well as the, you know, the other connectors. So let's quickly take a look at what we're going to crawl. So I'm going to crawl this particular XML document. This is in a Wikipedia dump. It's basically, you know, Wikipedia abstract file. It has around 950 documents. So each of these documents, right, XML items, they start with a doc and end with a doc. So this is one document. This is another document, and so on and so forth. And as you see, all these documents are very short. So it has title, URL, and abstract. It's not really much to it. And let's take a look at the connector configuration file for this XML connector. It has very few parameters that you need to specify. I've already customized this, so I don't have to do it here. So the first one is the type. Here you need to specify the connector, the DLL that it needs to be used for this connector. The root directory path is where you need to specify the location of the XML files. If you have subdirectories where XML files are located, you need to specify this as true. In our demo, we have only one directory, so it's not really useful.
So this looks pretty complex, Sridhar.
I know. The next one is the, and the most important one is the doc and ID path. This, you need to specify the unique element for an XML item. If you don't specify, then it gets overwritten by the next document it comes across. So here it is feed document URL. Like, so for example, in this case, it's a feed document URL, so it's the URL. So you need to specify the complete path. Then you need to specify a couple of elements, like for example, what do you want to map it for URL, what do you want to map it for title. The last and the most, I mean, interesting one is this particular one. So if you're crawling different types of XML data, obviously it's going to generate a lot of crawl properties, so there could be collision. So if you want to create those crawl properties, you know, unique crawl properties, so what you can define is a specific name here, which would be used to prepend all the crawl properties whenever you are using this particular connector configuration file.
So I guess it's not that complex. It's an XML file, and you set up about 6 different things to get the configuration to work. So it's not too bad.
I agree. So let's... So we've also added some more debugging capability. Before that, let me deploy the base connector configuration. Okay. Oh, why is that? Scroll it. Go back. I'm trying to find the.
Scroll this down.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there you go. Thank you. So first, you need to do is to deploy the core connector. So I'm having issues with the screen.
There you go.
Where is the PowerShell? Is
it? I have to scroll this up again.
Okay. So what you need to do is to deploy the core connector first. So what this does is, let me see, yes. So what this does is to deploy the core connector to GAC. It registered the SIT indexing connector protocol handler to registry. It also creates the crawl property metadata category, which we'll see soon. And then it restarts the search service. So as part of this one, we've also built in a support for debugging from the XML ULS perspective. So we've added an additional filter. I'll quickly show you. So what we did is to product sit.
So this is nice. We're going to kick off crawl, and you'll see the logging in the ULS logs show up.
So with this, you can only filter out the messages that are coming from XML connector. Let's go ahead and run the crawler. So before we do this, we need to deploy the XML connector and then create a content source. Let me quickly do that. So as part of this command, what I've specified is the type of DLL that I want to use, the name of the content source, and as well as the XML connector configuration that goes with this. Either you choose to run full crawl, or you can actually just create the content source and then run a full crawl later. So in this case, I've started the full crawl. Let's take a look at the central administration. Let's see. Let's go to the content sources here. So you see here it has created the content source. In my case, it is Wiki Abstracts content source. It's already started. Here I'm referring to the SIT, Search Indexing Connector Protocol, Protocol Handler. And this refers to this XML connector configuration file. That's all there is to it. Once you create this content source, it's up to you how you want to start it. You can actually do a full crawl from here or incremental crawls from here. In this case, it's doing full crawl. So let's go take a look at the metadata category that we just talked about. So as part of this one, all the crawl properties and managed properties that are created in this specific category, that is SIT search connectors. This is very helpful when you are actually crawling large XML files with different kinds of, you know, it creates a huge amount of crawl properties, right? So it's always helpful if it is in one specific place. So in this case, I tried to use AA Wiki Abstract as my prepend string because I wanted to come on the top. So it's already created all those crawl properties and it's mapped to the specific managed properties. Note that all these managed properties are of text type. But in case you want to disable it, all that you need to do this is to go here and disable it. Once you disable that one, it's not going to create any of those mappings, crawl property to manage property mappings automatically. So with this, it has created the content source. It's crawling that one. And I believe like it's already crawled 854 documents. Now let's go take a look at and see ULS log. So you, as you've seen here, we're only looking at the messages coming from the SIT connector. So with this, it's very helpful for you to debug the crawl because you can actually just limit it the, you know, the crawler messages. You can actually set the debug level, whether it's a verbose or, you know, whatever, you know, warning or error. So now that you have created the content source, you've crawled it, let's go take a look at how it looks from the search perspective. So we're going to use another tool called Search Query Tool. This is available on CodePlex. How many of you used it before? Awesome.
So this is SIT. The SIT connector was written by the same engineer, Nadeem Ishkar, that wrote this search toolkit, the query toolkit.
So I use it all the time from when it comes to query debugging. So in this case, all that you need to specify is the SharePoint Search Service URL. This is my SharePoint Search Service URL. And let's go ahead and search for the, I think, Wiki ABSD.
Those of you that haven't used this query toolkit, definitely download it from CodePlex. It's extremely useful. You'll see here, you can see the managed properties that come back. It's a great way to really see what's in the index. It's a great toolkit without having to do any custom code or anything. It's really super.
So now I got all the results back from the crawl we just did. These are, for each of it, it displays the properties, managed properties that are available. That's it. It's as simple as it is. So with the last 5 minutes, we were able to deploy the connector, deploy the core toolkit. We were able to deploy the XML connector. We were able to create content source and crawl it. Can you?
All right. How was that? Demo one.
Can I? Two? So now that we talked about what's available out of the box, let's say you needed to customize it or you want to create your own custom connector. Let's talk about what options are available. So all that you need to do is to implement this one single interface, that's iSearch connector interface. It has 6 different methods. You just need to implement those 6 different methods to get your connector up and running. So let's go to each of those methods one by one. So the first one is the core. SIT core actually calls this content source method. All that it does is set the name of the content source that you've defined, which would be using this particular connector. And the next method is initialize. Here you would be parsing that the connector configuration file, like for example, the batch size or the location of the files or whatever you define in the connector configuration file, and then you make it available for the rest of the methods. The third one is get all items. This is the main one of the main methods. This is called for both the full and incremental crawl. The crawl type parameter defines whether it's a full or incremental crawl. For both of them, it does extract them in batches and then send it to the search engine. So the offset parameter is what is defines the size of the batch. So it's a 50, 100, whatever you define in that XML configuration file is what is picked up here. The third one is the last two are the change tokens. So for let's say for the full crawl, it extracts it batch by batch. For the last batch, it generates a change token, and that gets stored on the file share. So you use the change token update parameter to store that one. Change token here actually is, it can be of any type. And in our case, what we are doing is we are actually using the last crawl date to store the change token. So for the incremental crawl, it picks up the last the change token for the last crawl and gets only the change that have been done after that, you know, the last crawl date, and then extracts the document, feed it to the search engine. For the last batch, again, it generates the change token, saves it to the file share. So note that it gets stored in the temp directory of the connector, you know, implementation, SID core library. So if you delete the temp directory, it means that you're going to be doing full crawl.
You get a full crawl.
So all this does is that it generates all the document IDs and then submit to the search engine. So for each of the document it extracted, it calls the get specific item. So all it does is extract the metadata and submit back to the search engine. So it's possible that some of these documents might have an attachment, right? Maybe Word or PDF, whatever, whether it's in the database or in the external file system. So you use the get specific item data to extract the, you know, binary stream from the attachment and then submit back to the SID core. The sixth and the last method is get security descriptor for each item. So here, it, as we talked about, it supports both Active Directory security as well as the custom claim security. So if it is custom claim security, the use pluggable auth parameter you specify it as true. If it is an Active Directory security, you specify that as false. And as far as the security descriptor is concerned, you use the ACL meta parameter. And once you implement these six methods, you got your custom connector. So we have, like as we talked about, those two connectors available. You can take a look at the code, you can customize it, and you can create your own new connectors. Well, let's quickly take a look at the item level security. So all that you do is you tag each document with an NTLM security descriptor. So if the content source supports NTLM, you just need to pass through that security descriptor. If not, you have the job of mapping that to somehow to the NTLM descriptor. If that's not possible, then you use custom claims. We're really not going into that in this discussion. But if you decide to implement security trimming based upon custom claims, you need to implement custom claims provider or security trimmer. If you use the custom claims provider, that would be used on all SharePoint pages. So if this is specifically, you're doing it for the search, you just use, implement the search security trimmer.
There's a great blog by Spinar Rasmussen on the claims.
And I believe he has also done a presentation at the last SharePoint conference.
That's right.
Now let's take a look at really how is this useful, right? This is useful in many ways. Like for example, XML connector is very powerful. With this, you should be able to crawl any content source wherein it outputs the data in XML format. Let's take some examples, right? So we had to crawl content from Sitecore. So all that we had to do is that it provides a web service which actually outputs the XML files. And we used to store it in file share and use the XML connector to crawl it. Wikipedia, the data is available in XML. W3 is schools, I believe. Even that is available in XML. We had to crawl online video services content from a site called QBrick. Even that provides the information, the data in XML format. So You can use this to crawl any of these content sources where you don't have connectors, but it does actually output in XML format. You can use this. You can, if in case you need, this doesn't really support the security trimming, but then in case you need to, you can actually use it to customize. You can also use the AdventureWorks database, a product database connector, you know, for crawling SQL database stuff. So one interesting use case was that we have this legacy customer using Fast ESP. They were crawling web pages. Those two different sites. They had dynamic, you know, web pages. Probably if you have played with the dynamic web pages crawler, right? The SharePoint 2013 doesn't really have a great story, you know, crawling the dynamic web pages. So what we have done was to use the internal tool called Content Distributor Emulator that comes with Fast ESP to extract the content from those two websites, store them in the database, and then use this particular connector, the database connector, to crawl the content. But the most interesting thing is that those two websites had different security implementation. One came with NT-ACLs, the other one came with LDAP stuff. So in the code, we extended the custom connector, database connector, depending upon where the content is coming from, which site, we were able to implement two different security implementations and able to support security trimming on the content from those two web pages. This might not be that easy to do with BCS. And of course, you can use it to crawl when you have metadata in database and then file in a file share. So basically, you want to extract the content from, you know, attachment and push it as a single entity. You can use this one too. But again, probably the BCS also does it. It's just that this is a lot more easier. We talked about there is a support from debugging perspective. There is a support from managed schema perspective. And if you need to change it, it's easier to update it, you know. So what are the takeaways? This reduces the complexity if you need to build your custom connectors or if you want to use the ones that are available and extend them, which becomes very crucial in enhancing the search experience. It's also very useful if you want, you know, trying to do quick POCs, like, you know, proof of concepts internally. So take this one, customize them, play with it, and take it from there. And then sit back and relax. Thanks, Brent.
Okay. Thank you, Sridhar. All right. We have a lot to cover now, just a few minutes left. So we're going to go dive into content enrichment. I'm going to go through the basics of the product, a little bit of the advanced things that you need to implement if you're doing your own web service, and then we'll jump right into the toolkit. And I'm going to really take you through the toolkit install package and go through all the parts so you can see how easy it is to use, and you can pick it up and use it in your own projects. Some business use cases. Why would you want to use content enrichment? If you talk to your customers, you may have heard some things like this. Well, we want to add value to the index. We want to add some more markup, add metadata to it. Maybe that data is in a database. Maybe they want to clean up their data. Another example is maybe they want to normalize. So you have some refiners, and you want to have a standard set of names in that refiner where your data doesn't have all the exact names. You want to normalize it. I'm sure you've heard other scenarios as well. I encourage you to talk to your business groups and find out what their needs really are so you can add value to the search index. Out of the box, SharePoint 2013 defines an API, and it's up to us to implement a web service. This is the replacement for Fast Search for SharePoint 2010, the pipeline extensibility. This is much more optimized for performance because it's now just a straight web services call, much better than that was before. It acts on managed properties, just one call in with the managed properties, and then when the web service is done, it sends back a list of managed properties and the values. The product group has defined the configuration. So when you set up your web service and register it with SharePoint 2013, these are the configuration pieces that you need to do. First several are pretty obvious. You have to set up the endpoint. You set up the list of input properties, output managed properties. You can also define whether you're going to include the binary raw data for the document. The next two are pretty interesting. Debug mode is useful. So you can set debug mode equal to true, and then SharePoint will send every single managed property and the values out to your web service. So extremely useful when you're doing development. You can find out what the values are inside of those managed properties. Error mode, that's useful, that's new. You can flag documents now and fail them, basically, so they won't show up in the index. The last point here, trigger. You can set up, there's a nice syntax, so you can say, let's say, for example, you have 10 different content sources. You can use this trigger so that your web service will only be called when one of those content sources is being processed. So it won't be called every single time. So that's very useful.
So one quick note on that error note is you can actually filter out the documents, right? Maybe let's say you want to filter out offensive documents. The one thing to note is that it doesn't really send the document to search engine, but then it will get picked up again during the next crawl. So if you're trying to filter out too many documents, that's not really an approach, but then few documents, that should be good to go.
This graph shows you what's available in SharePoint 2013. So you can see on the bottom, the light blue, that shows how much time is being used inside your content enrichment web service. So obviously you want to see that pretty low. If you see that large, you've got to do some optimization on your web service to get it to go quicker. Okay, we're going to cover six things quickly here, just to know. The managed properties must exist when you register your web service, so they have to be existing in SharePoint already. The property names are case sensitive, and you also can't use aliases. So aliasing is available on the front end. Just know that it's not available at this point as you're doing processing. So this one, I'm sure you've seen this. Some of the properties names are a little ambiguous. And maybe have numbers, and they're a little strange sometimes. And so that's where it's helpful to use the debug mode. And really, you just have to do analysis and find out which property actually has the values that I care about. This fifth point is a good one to note. So with SharePoint 2013, the body field is read-only. That wasn't the case in FastSearch for SharePoint 2010. Some customers did things like masking on some of the fields. Maybe there's a social security number. You could mask it in 2010. You can't do that the same way in 2013.
I think that's where you can use SIT, right? SIT, you have an ability to extract the content. You actually modify it before you can send it to the search engine.
That's right. Yeah, and we did a scenario about a month or so ago where we used SIT, and it made a call to this content enrichment web service toolkit that we have, did the modification and the masking, sent it back to SIT, and then it sent it on to SharePoint for processing. So that's a little bit of a use case that's helpful. The last one, just to note, you can only have one web service call out per SSA. All right, now some challenges. We're going to cover some challenges next on advanced enrichment. So if you're implementing your own web service, these are some things to note. The first one, scalability. You need to make sure that your web service can handle the scale. Potentially, you could have, if you have a large farm, you could have 144 threads going. They're processing documents and all submitting, making calls to your web service on every single one of those. Make sure that your web service can handle it. Fault tolerance is always a challenge in production. This last point, service aggregation, kind of a unique term, basically means you have your different business groups that have separate requirements. They may want some content sources processed one way, some content sources processed a different way, and you have to write code such that it solves the problem for all those different business groups. And that's what we mean by service aggregation. A couple techniques to help out. WCF introduced in .NET 4.0. So you can modify the web config and set up some XPath so you can get some of your fault tolerance. You set up the primary endpoint, the failover endpoint. Pretty useful. There's a blog on that if you want to learn more. Load balancing, obviously, you can achieve scale and fault tolerance through load balancing. This final point, local host, this is what we commonly use when we use the pipeline toolkit And basically just means wherever you are doing document processing on each of those servers, you place a web service, you place your web service. So it's kind of just making a local host call. You don't have to worry about network calls. It's just a local call. And that way you achieve the scalability. As you add more document processing, you just add more web servers. Okay. So now we're going to jump into the toolkit. And we'll talk about what this toolkit does and what you get out of the box. Then we'll dive into a demo. There's a quick overview. The goal of the toolkit is obviously to do entity extraction, to do document markup, and the primary goal is to enhance your search index, make it more valuable for your users. The architecture built on WCF, and there's a simple XML configuration file that the toolkit loads when it starts up. We'll look at that. And the goals hide some of the complexities of scalability, solve some of the complexities around the service aggregation, primarily through conditional processing that you can define in the XML file without the need for code. So some of the things that it does, this maps back to the use cases we talked about earlier. The toolkit does things like normalization, regular expression, dictionary-based matching. You can access external repositories like databases or other web service calls.
One example was that in one case, we were actually trying to implement a geospatial such application. For each document, what we were extracting was actually degrees, the location in degrees. But then we needed actually convert it to be a latitude or longitude. So we used actually one of the stages in QoS pipeline toolkit to convert it to latitude or longitude so that we can do the geospatial queries.
Okay, so what's in the package? We'll go through these things quickly. There are four things we'll cover. First one, there are 55 pipelines, different processing pipelines that are available in the toolkit. It's very configurable through the XML file. You can define which of those stages are going to be called. And, it solves many, many use cases. On the platform support, the toolkit works both on Fast Search for SharePoint 2010. It works on SharePoint 2013. And as you're doing development, it's useful. It runs standalone. So you can run it on your laptop or your desktop. There's no need for any of the SharePoint bits. It just runs by itself. So extremely useful from that perspective. If you want to customize it, use Visual Studio, .NET 4.5, and if you want to write your own stage, you just inherit from Abstract Document Processor class. We'll look at an example of that, some C# code, to show how simple that is to extend. I don't know if I didn't mention those 55 stages. All of the code is available for all those stages. So if there's one that, if you have to write a custom one, you just find one that's similar and just go ahead and copy-paste and then extend it. The toolkit comes with documentation. There's a large PDF file, and we're also in the process of moving all the documentation out to TechNet Wiki, so it's public. We encourage you to participate and help make that documentation better as we go forward. So we've seen this slide before on the call out, and just dive in a little bit deeper under the QoS pipeline toolkit. This is a representation of the different stages, so you can have different pipelines, as we talked about, with different business groups that may have different requirements. You know, pipelines, sub-pipelines, an example of a database call-out, and then everything is driven primarily from a configuration file, just an XML configuration file. Okay, who's ready for a demo? Oops, we're done with the demo. Maybe not. Go. So I've already installed the toolkit. We're going to look at the directory structure that's out there. Just walk through each of the directories. We have a bin directory where the install where the executable is. We've got an etc directory where the configuration files are. And we'll just walk through each one of those, look at some of the config files. We'll look at some C# code. You can see the directory where all of those stages are, so you can see how easy it is. Then we have two directories or two methods to help with testing, and we'll talk about that to help with regression testing as well as like rapid development, so you can test out your app. Connect to three. Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks, Sridhar. Okay, before I dive into that, I want to show you something we kind of the end result of using the toolkit. So we're going to do a query. You notice we've got a little cool icon there. You've seen that lots this week. I'll search for Europe, and we'll bring back. You'll notice there's some custom refiners on the left that we use the toolkit to extract the data. We also have a custom icon here for the Wikipedia content. And when we fly over here, we have a custom hover panel. And you'll notice there's a contributor. And so that was extracted from the Wikipedia content. And we're actually bringing in live from Wikipedia the mobile view of this Wikipedia article. So this was kind of the end goal. And we'll talk about how we got to it and how we use the toolkit as we go through the demo here. I installed this into the queues directory. If I could click on it. And you'll see here, these are the directories that we're going to dive into. So we have a bin directory, there's a doc directory. We'll look at those quickly first. The bin directory, this is where all the DLLs go. Your custom DLL, you would drop it into the bin directory. The web service executable sits in this directory. And there are two ways to run the executable. You can either run it as a Windows service, which right here we can see the Windows service is running. This is what it looks like. You have SharePoint 2013 Content Enrichment Web Service. So you can run it this way, or you could stop it, and while you're doing development, you can run a console web service so you could see all the output in a command line. And those two executables sit in this bin directory. We'll come back to this tool, the queues client. This is great for development and testing, but we'll talk about that at the end when we talk about testing. There's a doc directory, so this is where the PDF sits. There's also a PowerPoint for presenting to business users so they can see what functionality is available. Okay, look, we're going to spend a bunch of time in the etc directory. Whoops. Lots of copies of this. queues.pipeline.config.xml. That's the main file that's used when the toolkit starts up. And we'll go and look at that file right now. So you can see how to set it up and how to use it. Let's change this real quick. One more, maybe? Okay. So we start at the very top here. It's an XML file for configuration. And you define the initial pipeline that you're going to start in. In this case, we call it default. You can also set up where the log files go, set up some of your logging. Is it going to go to the event log? And then you set up the log level as well. That'll get passed into all the stages. So in this case, let's trace it through. So we start with the pipeline called default. And here we go. So there's a pipeline tag And here's the name default, right? Now you notice in here there are two different sub-pipelines. The first one is called this one. I guess they're both call pipeline is the DLL, so that's the stage that's going to be called. And for processing, it looks at the managed property called feed source. And if feed source is empty, that means we're kind of calling it from the queues pipeline toolkit. And we're going to jump into that. So this other one we had is being called from sit. So this was the scenario we were talking about earlier, where sit can call it and also SharePoint can call it. Okay, it starts right here, the processing. So in this scenario, we set up some logging. So every single document that comes through, a log file gets created. And you can see that stage as well, see how that logging takes place. What we're interested in, I think we want to look at this one here, the category. So how do we populate that category refiner? And if we scroll over here to the right, we use this stage called Dictionary Matcher. And Dictionary Matcher takes as input these input fields, wiki revision text managed property, and then as output, it puts out Wikipedia category. Okay, and it takes as a driver an XML file, which is in the etc directory again. And we can look at that one really quick. I think I've got it open here. So you can set up your regex that's used by this dictionary stage. Very simple. You can see here it's going to do a match on category and then do a pattern match. And the very first pattern gets put in as a return result into the stage. So you can see very simple to put these stages together, to chain them together, to chain pipelines together and sub-pipelines. I didn't point this out. Let me go back to that quickly.
Brent, is there documentation available how to use each of the stages?
We do, yeah. All the documentation is out. A lot of it's out on TechNet Wiki, and then the rest is still in the PDF document. But this was an example here doing conditional processing. I didn't point this out, but you can see here we got comparison if it's equal or if it's empty. That way you can do your different processing and calling if different business groups have different requirements, very easy to set up that conditional processing in an XML file. Let's jump back to the next directory. We're going to skip through. There's the logs directory. There are two scripts directories to help out with registering with SharePoint 2013, and also some scripts for 2010. But let's spend some time in the source directory. So there's the standard document processors directory, and this contains 76 items. There's some test C# files in here, but there's also all these different ones. What's a good one to look at? Maybe convert data. Okay, at the very top, you'll notice there are no using clauses that say anything about SharePoint, right? So there are only two that are unique here, utilities and document processing. And those both come with the toolkit. They're in the bin directory, two DLLs in the bin directory. So you just want to make sure you include those in your own Visual Studio project, and then you're off and compiling with no problems. And as we scroll through here, we'll see what else is in here. There's an initialized docproc method. There are really only three methods that you're going to care about. There's an initialize, there's a process, and then there's a finalize. So the initialize gets called once when the web service starts up. So you can do things like database pooling, for example, or if you have another web service you're going to call, you can do pooling there. And then obviously finalize gets called once. But process will get called on every single document. And let's just look at that briefly. So you have the process method. It receives as input a document object that has the managed properties that you've passed in. And from there, you can do whatever kind of processing you want. And when you're done, you set up the output field down here at the end. I picked the wrong one, but right here, set document.set value and then output field. And and then it gets passed out of the stage, and then you could use it in something else or just pass it back to SharePoint when you're done. We'll wrap it up here quickly with testing. We have a test directory, and just look in here. We have two different directories. There's a SharePoint 2010 and a SharePoint 2013. And if you look in here, we have folders for all these different stages. And inside of each of those folders, we've got input XML files and expected output XML. So the input gets sent into the toolkit, and then the toolkit sends back some data, and that's compared to the expected. So you can do regression testing very easily. I'll show you kind of how we do that right here. You just run test docprox.powershell.ps1, and then it'll recurse through all the directories underneath it and run the tests. It loads up a pipeline config file for each one of those directories, and then passes in the input file, compares the result to the expected output file, and you get this usually green pass or fail. So, but you can see how easy it is to do regression testing and really test out your scenarios. And just really quick, we'll look at this tool. This is the Qs client. And the way we would use this is you can either connect to the web service that's running, or you can load up your own config file and just run it in the tool. And then you notice here on the right, we have this input. And so you can load in different XML files that are the input XML files, same ones that are used in that test harness we just looked at. And then when you click on run, it runs it through the pipeline that's loaded. And then we can see over to the right, you can see the output. So it's super fast to change the XML file on the input, modify it, change your stage, rerun it, and then you can see immediately the output. You don't have to wait for, you know, a crawl to happen and, you know, make sure you get the document with the data you care about. You just quickly develop it right here. It's pretty nice. I think that's all we're going to cover on the demo.
Yep.
So who would find that useful in your day-to-day work? Great. It's about half of you or so. Okay? So what's the future of the toolkit? We want to make this a community effort, kind of push it out to CodePlex. The goal is to have lots of different data sources as input. Sridhar talked about Wikipedia, file shares, the AdventureWorks database. We also want to have deploy scenarios where not only do you use it for demos and simple POCs, but the same framework and scripts that would make it easy to use in your dev environment, your QA environment, and onto production. And then also want to extend this so that it can be used in, on the UI side. So we have display templates or scripts that it would help out with setting up your search center. So when this gets released, we encourage you to jump in and participate. Today, we'll talk about how to get the tools. So today, you get the tools through two ways, either through an MCS contact. If you work with a consultant or an engagement manager, you can talk to them, and they can get it for you pretty quickly. Or if you have a Premier contact, you can talk with your PFE engineer or your TAM and get it that way. And in a future date, we're working through with LCA to kind of get this made public. But the first two options should work for pretty much everybody. You work with MCS or Premier to get it quickly. So in review, we've talked about different extensibility points, both in content ingestion as well as enrichment. And then we focused mostly on these two toolkits, the SIT toolkit and the Qs pipeline toolkit.
So one thing we want to mention that they're free. So you just need to contact them and get them. You don't have to pay for anything.
That's right. Yep, thank you. list of other sessions that you may have seen or they're coming up soon. I encourage you to check these out.
So how many of you think these two tools would be helpful to resolve some of the issues that you have?
Okay. Oh, well, nice. Thank you. We appreciate thank your time. You. Does anybody have questions? So come up to the mic if you have questions or come and see us.